here at Shelter Rock Church, and thank you for joining us here today. We're continuing the series called Selfie. Pastor Greg did a wonderful job last week of starting the series, and we're continuing in that. Somebody alluded this morning or mentioned to me this morning that I think God is trying to play a trick on me because he knows I'm from Jamaica, and the weather was very warm yesterday, and today he just turned on me, but thank you, Lord. But be that as it may, we're in his house, and we're thankful to be here. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, if you have your Bibles handy, could you turn with me to James chapter 1? We're going to be reading from verse 22 to verse 25. And I suggest that, you know, when you get home, just read that entire chapter because it's just a wonderful, very practical book. That gives us some very beautiful insights into how we ought to be as believers. James chapter 1, reading from verse 22 to 25. Here it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." Amen? And so this morning, we're going to look at this, speak to you from this topic called Mirror, Mirror. Simple, right? Many of us, we're familiar with the whole is Snow White. You know, what does it, how does the rhyme go? Mirror, mirror. All right, so you've been watching TV, good. It just goes to show, how these things seep into our psyche. The other day, it just occurred to me, the other day I was going to work, and this person rolled up beside me in one of those Jeep, you know, I think it's a Grand Cherokee or whatever, and the person rolled down their window, and they were playing some old-time Jamaican music, and all of a sudden, I remember all the lyrics just like that, and I said, okay, Lord, forgive me, and I just drove off. But these things have a way of going right into your mind and into your heart that, you know, all it takes is just someone saying a trigger word, and it comes right back. You know what? Before we get started, let us pray. How is that? Could you bow your heads with me? Father God, we say thank you for your word to our hearts, and thank you, God, for being in your presence this morning. Father God, we're here, God, to hear what you have to say to us. God, our culture and our society and our news, they're saying so many things to us on a week and on a daily basis that, God, at times we're confused about what truth is. And so, God, we come here, God, to hear your word and to hear what you have to say to us this morning. I pray, God, that our hearts will be ready and receptive to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. As we look at this in this topic of mirror, mirror, if you will, you know, the reality is that many of us, we are obsessed with ourselves. There are many of us in here, you know, before you could say the guys, but the ladies, but now guys, we look at ourselves several times in the mirror before we leave the house, don't we? I mean, you know, everything has to be right. Everything has to be tucked in okay, and, you know, everything has to look good. The presentation that we're making to the world has to be perfect. The external presentation that we're putting out there, for the most part, has to be perfect. And the reality is that we're living in a society where we're judged by the way we look. We're being judged by the way we carry ourselves. And so there's a lot of weight that is put on how we look. When I was leaving out of the house this morning, I had forgotten to button three of these buttons because I was in a hurry to put on my shirt. And it was a good thing I looked in the mirror because I was like, whoa, that doesn't look right, Corey. and put everything together. And so, you know, when it has a way of starting small, then creeping into other areas of our lives. When I was younger, I used to love watch wrestling. You know, I used to love the, you know, Shawn Michaels. Anybody remember who he is? Okay, I'm aging myself here. I used to love watching wrestling because you see these guys, they have muscles and they're built and they have physique and everything like that. And I wanted to be like them. And so I started to do some weightlifting. I started to drink the proteins and everything like that. And for the life of me, I couldn't gain any weight. And so, you know, I was like, and I just gave up on it. I was like, you know what, forget it. Because the reality is that, you know, sometimes you put so much emphasis on the external that to the end of it, it really doesn't matter. Do you see? And so we want to be careful and we want to even look at what the Word of God has to say about, you know, mirror and focusing too much on ourselves. And so as we go on, we want to look at three basic functions of a mirror. The first is that a mirror reflects light. A mirror reflects light. If there's no light, you can't see any image, right? And so light is an important aspect in order to see what is in front of you. So first of all, a mirror reflects light. The second thing is that a mirror reveals perceived imperfections. Because so many of us, you know, we might look in a mirror and we're like, my goodness, that the makeup didn't go on right, or, you know, the lipstick didn't go on right, or the hairline didn't cut so okay. And we're obsessed with that. And somebody might look at them like, wow, what are you talking about? Everything looks well put together. But we are so obsessed with ourselves that, you know, there are some perceived imperfections there that, you know, the mirror tends to reveal. And finally, the mirror reshapes image. So depending on the type of mirror you're looking at, it might show you in a different light, right? You might look wider, you might look skinnier, you might look taller, you might look shorter, but, you know, depending on the type of mirror you're looking at, it might reshape your image. Does that make sense? And so as we think about, you know, these basic features of a mirror, we want to look at two types of mirror and we want to contrast them, if you will, and see where we go from there. And so as we look at our society and as we look at the Word of God, there are really two basic mirrors that are out there today. There's what we call the cultural mirror and there's what we call the biblical mirror. There is the cultural mirror and there is the biblical mirror. And before we move on, I want to make sure that we're on the same page here, so I want to define my terms. When I'm thinking about culture, I'm thinking about a localized collection of human activity in a particular time. I'm going to say that real slowly so that you get it if you're taking notes. When I'm thinking about culture, I'm thinking about a localized collection of human activity in a particular time. It's localized because how many of us know that, you know, a culture has boundaries? In other words, wherever there is human activity and we're thinking about culture, it has boundaries. So, for example, there's a culture that is in your home. There's a culture that is in our church. There's a culture that is in your work. There's a culture that is in your community. And there is a national culture. But each one of those cultures, if you will, has a certain boundary. In other words, the stuff that you do in your house, I hope you don't do that on the job. Okay. All right, let's move on. Yes? Because there are some things you do in your house. I'm like, you know, when you have strangers coming over, you're like, okay, let's put this thing together. Let's make sure everything is right, right? You dare not take that out of the house because it's just not right. Okay? So there's a certain set of activities that we do in our homes that we don't do elsewhere. Shelter Rock Church has a certain culture. And one of the things that we try to do is to make sure that from campus to campus, there are certain things that remain consistent to the Shelter Rock experience. Does that make sense? Culture. But as culture, as we think about this localized set of human activities, we think about its boundaries. But not only that, but culture changes over time. It changes over time. Yesterday, I was watching this program on TV. I think it was produced by Katie Couric. It was talking about America Inside Out. And it was just talking about these statues of General Lee that were established in the South. And, you know, General Lee was one of the generals in the Civil War who fought against the North and everything like that. But they eventually lost. And then the argument is that how is it that we as a nation can honor a man who, number one, lost a war, but number two, his values, he was trying to keep slavery intact, if you will. And the argument is, how is it that we're able to put this man on a pedestal? And so if you remember over the past couple of years, they're going through the nations and everywhere his statue is, they're taking them down. And there's some people who are like, why are you taking down? Why are you destroying our national history? That is a clash of culture. Because back then that was okay. Today that is no longer okay. Does that make sense? Culture changes. I don't know about you, but as culture changes, it can be very confusing. Because the standards by which we live by in this time period is somewhat different from the standards that we're living by today. Because culture, if you will, is what defines what is normal. Culture is what is defines what is okay. And for a believer, for a Christian that is living today, the question is, how is it that one thing that was not okay last week is now okay? And the question is, where do I go? What is my source to anchor my belief system so that I don't get swept away with these cultural changes? Does that make sense? I mean, I don't know about you, but when I look at the news today, and when I look at what our politicians are saying today, and when I look at everything that is going on today, I am confused. Am I the only one? Okay, I'm the only one, okay. And so if there's confusion about, you know, what is acceptable, we have to go back to the Word of God, because this is the mirror, this is the source that does not change. It was good 2,000 years ago, it was good 1,000 years ago, it was good yesterday, it's going to be good today, and it will always be good for tomorrow. And so if we are living in a society where there is confusion, it makes sense then to go back to the anchor of our souls, the Word of God. Does that make sense? Yes. A few years ago, I was on a boat, and I wish I had a boat. It was my friend's boat, because they said that when you're on the water, it adds, what, a few more years to your life or something like that? I guess that's why Jesus, well, let me leave that. But we were going fishing, and as we were fishing, we came alongside a buoy, and you know the guy said, drop down your fishing rod so that you could, you know, the boat could drift and you could try to catch something along the seashore or the bottom of the water. But what was amazing was that there was not a lot of huge waves on the water that day. But in the short span of time, we had drifted about 50 yards from our original point. And I suspect that is what is happening to us and our culture, is that if we're not careful as believers, even though we're close to the truth here, if we're not careful to constantly go back to the truth, after a while we'll drift so far away from our original point that, you know what? We no longer know what is okay. And so what I want to do is to and this is what the guy did. He cranked up the engine and he moved the boat right back to where it was. And so can we crank up the engine this morning? Is that okay? Is that okay? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis, if you're familiar with the Bible, it speaks about creation. You see where God is putting order to confusion. And whenever he speaks, it comes to bear. He said, let there be, and there was. Nothing resisted his will. So you see where God is, he creates the heavens, he creates the earth, he creates the moon, he creates everything. And it comes to a point in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, and 28, where he speaks about the creation of humanity. And the reason why I'm going back to this morning is because if you look at our culture today, our culture is attacking every aspect of what it means to be human. It is attacking it. And what it does is that whenever we say something as believers, it's as though we're foolish. It's as though we don't know what we're talking about. But we have to go back to the beginning, because that's where humanity started. It is God who created humanity. And so we have to go back to the source. We have to go back to the blueprint of what humanity is. And so in verse 27 to 28, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. If we want to know what the purpose of humanity was, we have to go back to the original blueprint, and this is the blueprint. Now, as I look at this, I see several things here. I see, number one, where God defines our identity. He says here, God created man in his own image. That speaks to our identity. And it is out of that our worth and our value comes from. That's why we value life in the womb. That's why we value life no matter if a person is disabled or not. We value that person's life. Why? Because they have been created in God's image. That's our identity. As I look further, he says, in the image of God, he created them male and female. I look at that and I see gender. And I mean, if you look at our culture today, there's a lot of confusion about what gender is. Is that a social construct? Is that something that our society puts on a piece of paper? No, it is God who defines our gender. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. As I look at that, I'm looking at my sexuality. What is the purpose of sex? It is to procreate. It is to propagate, if you will, humanity. But what we have done as a culture, we've divorced the pleasure of sex from the purpose of sex, and therefore we have all these aberrations that we see around us. Just in terms of, you know, when you think about human trafficking and sex slave and everything like that, that is what happens when sin comes in and takes away pleasure from purpose. God is saying here, it is within the confines of a marriage that we ought to enjoy this gift. It is a gift from God. Amen? We continue and he says, fill the earth and subdue it. We see purpose there. Purpose. And God gave you gifts. God gave you talents. Not to keep for yourself, but to go out there and to make and to cultivate something beautiful that will give him glory, that will give him praise. And so I look at these things, identity, gender, sexuality, and purpose. And if you look at what our culture is doing today, it is redefining every one of those facets of our humanity. It is no wonder we're confused. Okay, let me back that up. It is no wonder I am confused. Does that make sense? And so what I wanted to do here is that before we go into James, we just want to go back to the original blueprint and see what God's original purpose for us was. The Bible tells us that sin came in and just distorted our original humanity. And so as we think about that, as we think about the biblical versus the cultural image, we want to look at James and we want to extract 3 points. And I'm going to go real quick. We want to extract real 3 points. The first is this. Is that your mirror will reflect your standard of truth. You can write that down if you will. Your mirror will reflect your standard of truth. The question is, what is your standard of truth? Is it man's opinion or is it God's opinion? Because it matters. Because when you look at our generation today, and we're so, as I said before, we're so obsessed with how we look and how we carry ourselves, right? You might post a picture on Facebook and you might not get as many likes as you did last week, right? And all of a sudden you start to feel, oh my goodness, nobody likes me. Like, oh my goodness, what did I do in that photo? And you start looking back at the original photo and try to get the original pose. Whose opinion are you living off of? Is it God's opinion or is it man's opinion? Because it makes a difference. Here's what James says. If you look at the text, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. What James is trying to tell us here, the truth of what James is trying to tell us here is that What we do with our lives count. What we do with our lives count. Because we're living in a day and age where our society and our culture say, hey, just do whatever you feel like. Just do whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter what you do. It's you doing it. It's just me. It's not going to hurt anyone. But that's a lie. James is saying that what we do with our lives matter. So he says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. Do what it says. Because merely listening doesn't transform. Merely listening doesn't change. I might acquire knowledge, I might acquire information by listening and by reading. But if true transformation is to occur, I must move from merely listening, merely reading, to actually doing. I want to clarify a point here. We're not doing in order to be accepted by God. I just want to make that clear. We're doing because we have been accepted by God. Do you see? It is out of God's grace that we do, and we do in order to become. Does that make sense? My kids, they're doing martial arts. I have to remind them at times that I was a green belt myself. You know how kids are. After they reach a certain age, you're like, they want to... let me not use any of that. They want to confront you. Like, you have to make sure you put... Anyways. One of the purpose of training is to condition the muscle so that it knows how to respond. It knows how to react automatically. But what if my kids were not training? What if they were not practicing and saying, you know what, daddy, you know what, sensei or master, I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to read the book and it will come. I'm just going to passively sit here, I'm just going to meditate and it will. You'd look at them and say, you got to be kidding me. Get up and practice, right? It's the same thing with the Word of God. It's not merely listening, but it's in the doing that we are transformed. It's in the doing that we become. Amen? And so when somebody rolls upon them in school and want to punch them, you're like, whoa, what are you doing? That's an automatic reaction. Why? Because they've been practicing, they've been doing. Amen? See, do not merely just listen to the word. Because if you do, and you think that's going to change you, no, you're deceiving yourself. No, do what it says. Amen? So first of all, our mirror will reflect our standard of truth. And the truth is, transformation comes in doing. That is the truth. Amen? Do not listen to our cultural lies that says truth doesn't matter. That says you can do whatever you want and God will be okay with it. No. It is what we do with our lives matter. Amen? Paul, in his letters to the Corinthians, he talks about this for a little bit. He says, the God of this world he's talking about unbelievers who reject the gospel, who reject the truth of God's word. He says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. In other words, when somebody sees the truth and rejects the truth, there's something there that is blocking the connection there, right? And Paul says that our minds are blinded. Another reason why truth is important is because it's a condition for authentic worship. If you're writing that down, I'll say that one more time. Truth is a condition for authentic worship. Jesus says that if you're going to worship me, you must worship me in spirit and in truth is a condition for authentic worship. Amen? So don't believe in cultural lies. Let us turn to the mirror of God's word for the truth that will change us. Amen? So the next point I want to make is this. Not only does your mirror reflect your standard of truth, but your mirror will also reveal your values and your affections. It will reveal your values and affections. Let's look at the word. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately, somebody say immediately, forget what he looks like. That there tells me that there's a value issue here. There's an affection issue here. Because if you value something, if something is dear to you, you don't let it go easily. If a relationship is valuable to you, you just don't dismiss it. You just don't let them go their way. No, you go after them. You figure out why, what's going on here, what went amiss here, and you try to resolve it. If you value something dearly, you don't forget it. You don't give it up easily. And that's what James is saying here, is that when we don't do the word, it's suggesting to us that our values are out of order. Don't merely listen, but do. It's interesting that James uses a mirror in his analogy here. Because back in the day, the mirrors that they used was not as clear as the mirrors we're using today. In fact, the mirrors that they used were typically made out of some polished metal that they would polish until you're able to see your face. But the image that that produced was not as clear as the image today. I can ask any one of the ladies today, could I see your mirror? And you would just go right in your purse and you would just, okay. And you would just open it up and you would see a clear mirror. But back then it was not that clear. And so the image that was being produced was not clear. And so you can understand why this person would forget what they look like. And so the question is, what mirror are you looking in? If you're looking through the cultural mirror is not going to give you a clear image of what you look like. Why? Because it keeps changing. Why? Because everything keeps moving around. It does not reflect clearly who you are. And that's why we need the Word of God. Amen? That's why we need the Word of God. Talking about values, Jesus had to deal with a young man who had some value issues. In St. Matthew chapter 19, the Bible tells us that a rich young man came to Jesus and he asked Jesus the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This was not Jesus who initiated this. This was the man who had a need and had a question for Jesus. And Jesus turned to him and said, if you wish to be complete, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Don't miss that. It's not just selling your stuff. It's not just giving away your stuff, but come, follow me. Look at his response. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving. Why? For he owned much, what? He owned much property. Here's a man that was sincere in his question. He was sincere about wanting to know God. He was sincere about wanting to change. He was sincere about just wanting to live a life that pleased God. And he came to the right person. He came to Jesus Christ. But when God, when Christ gave him the answer, he walked away grieving. He was sorrowful. Why? Because he owned much. There's nothing wrong with owning a lot of stuff. The question is, do you own your stuff or does your stuff own you? Because there is a distinction. When I own something, I can give it away freely. Oh, yes, I can. When I own my stuff, I can give you this and I can give you that and I can give, and I have no, there's no issues with that. But when my stuff owns me, I have to go to my stuff for permission to give it away. Oh, Lord. this man went away grieving because he was more connected to his stuff than he was to God. A value issue. A values issue. And so when we look at our mirrors will always reflect our values and our affections. Do not become enslaved by our possessions. Amen? But let us lay them aside for the sake of Christ. So number one, our mirrors will reflect your standard of truth. Number two, your mirror will reveal your values and your affections. Number three, your mirrors will reshape your identity and view of self. It will reshape it. Just as we said at the beginning, when you look at certain mirrors and when you go to some of these theme parks or whatever, and you look at yourself in certain mirrors, it distorts it, doesn't it? You get a distorted image. The mirror you look at will distort your, will reshape your identity and view of self. Let's look at the text. Verse 25. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it. Let us not forget that word, continues in it. The word continue here really means to abide. It really means to remain. Jesus always talking about, you know, I am the branch, I am the vine, and you are the branch, and he who abides in me. It means to be connected. It means to remain. It means to stay. Continues in it. Not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So here Jesus is here James is really telling us that how we view ourselves and our identity is shaped by what we do. Do you see? You're not just looking into a mirror that is foggy. You're not just looking into a mirror that is not clear. You're looking into the perfect law, and it gives you a perfect reflection of your image. And the question is, when you look at that image, what are you going to do about it? So we said earlier, when you look at your mirror and you look at your external image right now, what you do, you fix the hair and you style it a different way and you make sure everything is well put together. But you see, the mirror of God's word doesn't focus on the outside. The mirror of God's word focuses on the heart, because that is where the issues lie, isn't it? I can look beautiful on Facebook, but that doesn't mean I'm beautiful. Ooh, that was good. Talk back to me, yes? I mean, I could be the meanest person that you could ever meet. Right? I could be, my external physique could be, you know, well-chiseled, well-toned, well-cut. But that doesn't mean my character reflects that. That's where the Word of God comes in, because you're looking intently at the perfect law. You're looking intently at the perfect mirror, and it's going to show you a perfect reflection of yourself. And the question is, are you gonna walk away from it, or are you going to allow it to reshape you, to mold you, to make you into the image of God's Son? That's where the rubber meets the road. See, there's a direct connection between doing and being blessed. Do you see that? Do you see it? In other words, God isn't going to bless what you want to do. He's going to bless what he's called you to do. So he says, if you look intently at my law, continue in it, guess what? You're going to be blessed. You're going to be happy. You're going to find that satisfaction. You're going to find that peace. You're going to find that shalom that you're looking for in God. Amen? I'm not a poet guy, but I figure that, you know what, if if Disney could come up with a mirror, mirror on the wall, I could come up with something similar. Would you indulge me for a minute? Come on! So my version of it goes like this. Mirror, mirror, bright and clear, whose image am I to bear? Can we say that? I know you're good. Ready? Mirror, mirror, bright and clear. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Yes.
Come on, man, I should be in the books. Let me stop. And the answer is, I am God's image bearer, reflecting the image of Christ. That's who we are. Amen? I am God's image bearer, reflecting the image of Jesus Christ. The reality is that all of us in this room, we are reflecting some kind of an image. And we always reflect the image of our God. And so the question is not what kind of image you're reflecting, but the question is, who is your God? And so if money is your God, you're going to see that reflected. If clothes and possession is your God, you're going to see that reflected. If beauty is your God, you're going to see that reflected. And if Jesus Christ is your God, you ought to see that reflected. Amen? Amen. Could you stand to your feet with me this morning? The praise team, could you come up, please? Our culture and our society is confused, and it places a lot of stock in what we look like on the outside. But God does not look at the outside appearance. He looks at the heart. We know the story of David and how, you know, God selected him. Right? His dad lined up all his sons. Hey, look at this one. He's tall. Look at this one. He's handsome. God says, no, 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 no. I've rejected that one. Don't you have one more son? Where is he? Oh, he's out in the field. Guess what? We're not going to sit down until he comes, because that's God's chosen one. Doesn't look at the outside appearance. He looks at the heart. So as we think about this message today, whose image am I bearing? Whose image is impressed on your heart this morning? Is it the cultural image or is it God's image? It makes a difference. Amen? Bow your head with me. Father God, we thank you for your word to our heart this morning. Thank you, O God, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who is your perfect image. Your word tells us, O God, that your purpose is to conform us into the image of your Son. But God, we don't want to be passive about this. We don't want to just lay back and think that we can just hear the word and we can just read the word and that is sufficient. God, we want to move. We want to graduate from reading. We want to graduate from listening. God, we want to graduate to doing. And so, God, will you empower us to do your word? Father God, we call on your Holy Spirit to empower us to do the things that you've called us to do. Because, God, at the end of our lives, we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to know that our lives counted for something. We want to know that we did your will. And so, God, we submit ourselves and we surrender ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.